Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, I'm Eileen Good for Payments.com, and today I'm talking to Mike Blavin. He's the CEO of Currency Cloud. Michael, how are you doing this afternoon?
Very good, thank you.
Michael, can you tell us a little bit about your business, Currency Cloud? How are you serving the B2B marketplace?
Yeah, so the Currency Cloud is a B2B international payments, there's no cross-border payment service. And the founders of the firm, we came out of an analysis that said that if you look at the world of international payments, remittances, that's, the corridor from the U.S. to India or from the U.K. to Poland, there's a lot of innovation in that market, and those individuals are being well served. When you look at business payments on a domestic basis, there's Dwolla, lots of things in the mobile world, Square, Stripe, there's a lot of innovation in that world. But when you look at the world of international business payments, I would say that's the third leg of all of that, not consumer and not domestic business, there actually wasn't a lot of innovation. So we set out to bring the same kind of both technology and cost innovation that you get in other parts of the payment world to the world of international payments. And so the Currency Cloud is a technology provider, but we also are a regulated and licensed entity because we do the foreign exchange component. It focuses almost exclusively on business, international business payments, and that would be businesses paying their bills.
All right, and you talked about sort of importing some of these innovations that we see in other sectors sort of into this B2B where there's less innovation. Can you give me some examples of some of the innovations you're bringing to the marketplace?
Well, sure. Listen, the easy-to-use technology and price transparency are themselves the major innovations. What you have to do behind that may be often technically complex, but one of the issues with business payments on an international basis, and this has been very much the same, and you see a lot of the same press around other kinds of payments, is that businesses had no idea what they were paying. Often, if you make a business payment through your bank, you want to make a payment in euro. You tell the bank you want to make so many euro payment. The bank makes the payment, and at the end of the month, you find out what happened. Or the amount that you have to pay is quoted to you with multiple fees and different kinds of FX rates, so there's a real lack of transparency. And in the world of business payments, 85% go through banks. So we then disclose all of the pricing, how much we make, how much the customer's paying, what the market price is for everything, so that it's totally transparent. That involves both a business commitment to express the prices to the customer, and it also involves the technology so that all the pricing is disclosed in real time so people get to see it. Ease of use is then just a technology commitment to make things web accessible, available over the cloud, structured the way that people like to see it. And those are in themselves sort of two broad categories of areas that the world of international business payments hasn't had before.
All right, and you're really out there. So my notes tell me you're doing $4 billion a year in payments annually. You have 40,000 end user customers. You're powering 100 platform customers, and you're in 212 countries. So I think you're well suited to answer the question. What are you hearing from this rather large international base you're serving?
Well, you've done some research to get some of our numbers. The amount of business payments, both the number of payments and the values of them, keep going up dramatically. You know, one of the large multinational companies have never had a problem with ease of use and getting the best prices and getting service from their banks. I mean, banks are set up to service big companies, but small companies, small businesses, and medium-sized businesses don't get either the same pricing or the same rates. And I think as we talk to people, and remember, we're still a small company, we're a startup. I like to think that we punch above our weight in terms of the press we get and the PR we get and the people that we talk to. And that's basically viewed as a message that I think people want to hear. But we hear from small and medium businesses all the time that they're overpaying, that what they're doing is hard to use. So for what we're doing, it's not a question of competing for the most part with other small startups, though I'm sure they will be there over a period of time. It's really providing a simpler, better service to a series of businesses that are underserved by the banking industry. So what we hear is thanks, and that we're providing a simpler and easier service than their own bank.
That's got to be rewarding to hear. And you're a small startup, and you know, it's interesting to hear that you know you punch above your weight. You also you fundraise well, so I believe you have a funding round to the tune of about 10 million US, about 6 million pounds.
We've raised about $20 million in total. That may be a little bit less than that, but we're going from pounds to dollars. So, in January of 2012, we did an initial funding round of about $8.5 million, and we just completed one in December of approximately 10. So, not quite $20 million of funding. And the previous round was all of the existing investors joined by Silicon Valley Bank. The first round was a very typical sort of Series A round for a venture-backed startup. It was all about building out the initial platform and the product and the payment network. Really, it was a product and R&D-focused round. The second round, which we just took, of course, investment continues to go into R&D, but is really about now really trying to get the product out into the marketplace in a way that we weren't doing before. So, yep, we've been fortunate in our ability to raise funds, and we have some very good people who are behind the company.
All right, and now I'm going to ask you to respond to a rumor. So the hot gossip we hear on the street here is that Facebook has been hanging out with financial service startups in the UK looking to throw some money at them. So you're in the UK. You're in financial services. What do you hear?
You know, it's funny. Our name was mentioned in an article. First of all, I have never met Facebook, okay, ever. our name was mentioned in an article with Facebook, and you get more hits, more tweets, more, you know, people. When you get mentioned in that world, people will start to find you. Listen, there's a whole series of articles in the UK press, and I commented in some about meetings Facebook had in London with a variety of startups to try and understand the payments market and whether this was a bit of the world that Facebook themselves should be investing in. And there's been a lot of speculation in the press, and I really don't have any special insider knowledge on this one. I've not been in touch with Facebook, nor have they been in touch with me. I mean, I think if you have all of the users, it makes sense to explore how are you going to use the connections they have between each other. And so I think it makes sense to do that. But I think from what I know, everything is a rumor, and I don't really have any inside knowledge in that. It does make sense to see Facebook in the payments business in some way, but I don't really know anything beyond that.
All right. Next question. This relates a little bit to, you know, sort of, you know, you have Facebook, an American company, trying to invest in the UK and learn about the space. And you're dealing with international payments, which means I imagine you're dealing with, you know, slightly different sets of rules across hundreds of borders. And so how challenging is it to do what you do when you're trying to make payments, business payments possible, when you're dealing with many different regulatory environments, you know, different exchange rates that change on the day? I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces in what you just because of the international nature of it.
Yeah, so listen, for payments in general and for international very specifically, the challenge for individuals or for a small company like us is that the compliance or the regulatory bar keeps getting raised continually. Every time you hear about a banking scandal, and usually these are scandals of multinational banks, whether it's, you know, HSBC in Mexico or Citi had some regulatory scrutiny goes up. And what regulatory scrutiny means is that you really need to know the complete journey of any amount of money. Who's sending it? Where is it being received? And we, the Currency Cloud, have to take the opinion that we have to build our system to whatever the highest standard is. So if a jurisdiction has a lower standard, that's fine, but we'll have to assume that it's the toughest standard and have to build to that because we'll have to comply with that. So to me, I think you have to look at the compliance and regulatory regime. I wouldn't call it as your friend, but you know, that's the way the world works. In anything that's financially oriented, especially where there's a payment being made across a border, compliance and disclosure is really knowing who's involved is really become paramount. It's enforced by the government regulators. It's enforced by the banks, and you have to meet that standard, and we have to do that. With regards to the multiple countries, the World of Foreign Exchange, which I know pretty well, is a very non-standardized world. Every place has a different rules, different holidays, different hours, different ways they treat things. And again, one of the things that a company like ours has to do is sort of shield all that from the end user so the customers just find it easy and we handle all the complexity. So regulation and compliance drives things these days, and there's no sense moaning about it. It's a fact of life. It's not going to change.
Very good. And my last question for you today is there anything you'd like to tell me about that I neglected to ask you about?
No, I'm innocent. I thank you for talking to us. I think the world, as I said, the world of B2B payments is in the world of payments, the place where there's going to be a lot of innovation. A lot has come in on the consumer side. But businesses are still paying each other in a way that they used to in the past, and that's not going to change.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.